Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. Welcome back for another, I would say, talk on shepherding. I always say this, and I would repeat again that I don't consider this a conference with messages, but really a talk. Well, I would say not even so-called giving some lessons on the subject matter. I am here to open my heart to you of what is what my heart has been filled, and I'm simply here to overflow what is there. And as I have mentioned to you in this series of talks beginning last fall, that this great matter of shepherding is just has overwhelmed me and overtaken me in recent times. So the burden I have is not just for Northern California. I have to be very honest, truthful, and genuine. Then my burden is really for the whole of the Lord's recovery with all its churches and saints everywhere. I believe that whether the Lord's recovery can go on to fulfill God's purpose, to work out God's desire in this last days, in this last age, the and to practice and testify through a church life that is up to the Lord's standard, a church life that is prevailing, and the church life truly that builds up the body of Christ. This matter of shepherding must see a breakthrough, a major breakthrough, because my feeling is that not that there's no shepherding or no one is practicing this. Of course not. Of course not. But I'm talking about practicing this as a center, as a central thing in our Christian life and in our church life, as an and practicing it not really merely as a practice, if you know what I'm saying, just something you do, but really touching the intrinsic significance, the intrinsic reality of what shepherding really is. And so I would I'm not here just to give some classes or lessons, and then you get it, you're impressed or inspired, and sort of we do something, and then we go on. I believe that this matter will have to be fully recovered before the Lord can come back. This has everything to do with the growth and building up of the body of Christ. And the subject is just inclusive and huge, and all encompassing, touching everything that we do as our service to the Lord in our church life today. So what am I saying? I'm saying that I like to see, I pray to the Lord that everywhere. When I go to a church or find the saints, what will hit me, or rather, what will impress me, what will immediately touch me or move me, is how the saints are shepherding. Shepherding one another, shepherding those around them, shepherding the young ones, all the way to the old ones, shepherding our neighbors, shepherding our gospel friends and contacts, and just everywhere. Whatever we may be doing, we are doing some kind of a shepherding of people. And so, in our meetings, outside of our meetings, in our even our own daily life, we're just a shepherding people. And every church becomes a shepherding church. You know, shepherding underscores shepherding is the centerpiece. Shepherding is the is what is most pronounced. Of course, I'm not just talking about a mere practice now. I really am talking about the person and the life, that we would all be shepherds, and that we would all live a life of shepherding. All I can do is speak, and may the Lord's Spirit favor us and operate within us very much through His Word to constitute us and to make us such. This morning, I'm going to spend the time to, again, I'm not going to go according to the outlines and cover all the points, like in a training or even in a conference. No, I'm going to go by burden. And these outlines that are given to you are very useful to help you to focus and to get into the things. They cannot just be lessons and black and white pages. They have to find a place in our hearts. They have to we have to have dealings with the Lord concerning them, and until something happens, until something happens. I'd like to encourage all of you that we all can be such shepherds, and we all must be a shepherd. I may be even sick in bed, but even in bed, I am shepherding. I am shepherding, and there are ways we can shepherd, even we may be inconvenienced or, I mean, incapacitated to some degree. This matter is huge, dear brothers and sisters, and I'm not letting it go so quickly and be done with it. This is not just some subject here that I am interested in. This is a deep, deep burden in my heart. So let's come back today to look at the pattern, if you will, the model of shepherds in the Bible. Not in a, I'm not doing a Bible study here, just again to look at this matter of shepherding from that angle. When we talk about shepherding, just like the song we just sang, which is a hymn I wrote, specifically with this burden in view, the first shepherd, the main shepherd, is really God himself. Am I right? Among so many things associated with God, one thing with God and one thing in his relationship with man and one thing in his work among men to fulfill his heart's desire and eternal purpose. And therefore, something that is intrinsically related to his economy through the ages, Old or New Testament, was that he shepherded, he shepherds his people. And look, I mean, I'm just freely talking to us. Just go to Psalm 23. Am I right? Psalm 23, the popular psalm that we all love, that we always quote, and frequently, you know, in memorial meetings or funerals, whatnot, we mention this psalm, concerning, God's, the Lord Jehovah's, shepherding of us. And now we know that, of course, all the things in the Old Testament are types, figures, and prophecies. And so you have here in Psalm 23 really a prophecy, or something that is pointing to, Jehovah is my shepherd, to Christ, and specifically the very resurrected Christ who has been pneumatized, who through a wonderful process have become the Spirit today. And I'm not going to get into this psalm, I don't have the time, but just to quickly look at that psalm, and you can go study it yourself. This is a marvelous short psalm that reveals the all-inclusive Christ, the Christ we just studied in the semi-annual recently in the winter, is that very shepherd. He is Jehovah today. He is our inward shepherd. He is the shepherd of us, his people on the earth. To take care of us. You know, shepherding is just care. It's just care in simple terms. Taking care of us. And both without and within. And of course, more particularly within us, in our inner being. So a person who is a part of the people of God, and today we who are his believers, lovers, and followers, and his disciples, and members of his body are, as seen through the lens of this psalm, under his all-inclusive enduring and endless tender care, and that's it. I to be the to be very simple, to the point. That's what a shepherd does, and that's what the Lord has been doing and is still doing today. And look, I mean, brothers and sisters, I mean, this morning I got up and I say, I remember this psalm, and I say, I just kind of think about it, and Lord, I mean, I won't be alive. I won't be here this morning. I won't be, I'll be nothing, or I'm done if the Lord has not shepherded me from the beginning until through last night until this morning. I mean, there'll be, I will be nothing. I'm finished. I'll be gone. The first thing, in this psalm is, I will, the Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. How about that, brothers and sisters? Do you, I mean, I lack nothing. He cares for me. He's still caring for me. And because of him, I have no lack. And isn't that something? Isn't that something? It's all because of this good shepherd, this great shepherd, this chief shepherd, this shepherd of my soul. And of course, this psalm has five stages, right? Maybe this should be another talk, another time. Revealing Christ, how he shepherds us. The first stage, to shepherd us to the green pastures, which is Christ himself, our pastor. Even in John 10, it doesn't specifically say that, but he is the door to the pasture. So the Lord is both the door, actually, and the shepherd, and that is the permanent place of satisfaction and enjoyment, and fulfillment, the green pastures, and the waters of rest. The waters refers to the spirit, right? So that's just the first stage of the Lord shepherding us. Didn't he do that? Is he still not doing that today, this morning, right now? Right now, brothers and sisters, we are under his shepherding. I mean, we're sitting here because he shepherded us here. We're open to him because he shepherded that way. The second stage is a stage of revival. I can surely testify how the Lord revived me seasonally, daily, even moment by moment. Reviving me when I'm down, reviving me when I am veered off, when reviving me when I become deadened, reviving me when I lose heart and strength. He revives me. How often the Lord revives you and me, brothers and sisters, and transforming us. This is a great work of shepherding of the Spirit, always working in us to change us, to transform us, and putting us on the path of righteousness. And then you have the third stage in this particular psalm, and that is we by his shepherding, we can actually go through or walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, isn't a life full of such shadows, so full of such valley walks and valley experiences, where things are dark, things are difficult, things are challenging, things are even almost impossible. But even through all of that, there is, even including the gentle dealings of Christ, sovereignty through all things in our lives for our sake and for the body's sake. And while we're going through life, while we're in the church life, while we're serving him, a lot of valleys, and he shepherds us through them one by one. I can testify to you. You know, every day I have some valley, but he shepherded me through. He led me through those valleys of death, of shadows. And then you have a fourth stage in that, you know, and this has to do even with our warfare, you know, fighting with God's against God's enemies that are our enemies, our adversaries. And this is a huge thing, because the Christian life is a warfare. The church life is a battle. For us to be the overcomers today, to overcome so many things, sin and the world and the devil and our environment. There needs to be, we need this resurrected one who happens to be our organic shepherd, our pneumatic shepherd. And finally, a shepherding us through a lifelong, a whole life to the end with his goodness and kindness into his house. What is his house? His house is the church. His house is the body. And eventually his house is the New Jerusalem. I tell you, until we all end up in the New Jerusalem, we would be under his shepherding. And I would hasten to say, even in the New Jerusalem, we will be eternally under his sweet shepherding. Brothers and sisters, I mean, think about that. Think about that. This is our God. This is our Jesus. This is our Christ. This is the one today who is in the heavenlies, doing that much. You know, we call it the heavenly, you know, Christ in his earthly ministry is doing nothing but just read the Gospels. Just read the Gospels. The whole time he went back, his commission is with Israel, God's Old Testament flock. And he went there as a man and just seeing the condition and you know, the illness, their forlornness, their homelessness, their suffering there, you know, even under the religion, the old law, and just abandoned. They are like sheep without a shepherd. They are scattered. They are, the Lord came to these people, and through the work of his shepherding, which comprises of cherishing them. You know, even the Lord's healing people, opening the eyes of the blind, releasing those from bondage, casting out demons, and even raising the dead. Those are his cherishing work of this people, readying them to what? To receive himself as the eternal life. Right? And those who receive him, those who believe in him and follow him, he became life to them eventually. And what is life? Life is simply the divine life, the eternal life, being what? Being ministered and dispensed into us through this one. And what is that? That's organic shepherding. That is the nourishing part of shepherding. So outwardly he cherishes, inwardly he nourishes. And that's what he did on the earth. And after he died and resurrected and went to the heavens, he continued to do the same. And now, with what? With all his people, surely his New Testament believers, which include you and I. So there above in the third heavens at the right hand of God, he has acquired many statuses. As we know, he is the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, he is the leader, he is the mediator, he is the advocate, he is the administrator of the universe. He is all kinds of all these things. But I'll tell you, in his heavenly ministry, Christ inclusively, you can say Christ is the shepherd, shepherding you and I, shepherding every one of his people, shepherding his church, his flock. That's what he's doing. I mean, inclusively, you can use to apply the word shepherding to all of his ministry today. No matter which aspect, even as the heavenly minister, what is he doing? As the heavenly intercessor, what is that? That's all shepherding. That's all shepherding. And he's arranging the world situation, arranging your situation to shepherd. And today, even he has not given up Israel. As difficult as that situation is, God is shepherding them. And that's it. That's what he is doing. Almost singularly, there are many aspects to the shepherding, but rich aspects, but this is the inclusive work that he's doing. And it is through this shepherding, listen, he's transforming us. He is conforming us. He is renewing us. He is that one day he will glorify us, that we would all be share his image. I mean, how is that possible without him shepherding us daily? When we give up on ourselves, he won't give up. When others give up on us, he won't give up. So this is his heavenly ministry. So his earthly ministry was shepherding his heavenly ministry. And that heavenly ministry has another part. That part is still on the earth. And what we call the apostolic ministry is totally in correspondence with his heavenly ministry. That means as the Lord is shepherding, right, above at the right hand of God, all of us, he is also the one indwelling us. He is living in us as the Spirit, as that pneumatic Christ, as that organic shepherd in us, shepherding us today. But he also, in order to carry out this shepherding, he would have his people cooperate with him. And this is where this whole burden comes in of shepherding. Number one, there should be the elders in the churches, right? The elders. Who are the elders? The elders are the overseers. The elders are this and that. But primarily, the charge in the New Testament to elders is by Peter is shepherd the flock of God. Your job is to shepherd, to care for the saints. All the saints. willingly and not by coercion. That's in one word the job of elders, but not only them, right? That there would be also certain gifts in the church, right? Teachers and shepherds in Ephesians 4, right? You all know that. Not just elders per se, but those who have such gifts. But not only that, brothers and sisters, all the saints should be shepherd. So we all have a dual status. Number one, we're all sheep. Am I right? We are the sheep. On the other hand, we're all shepherds. We are shepherd sheeps. We are sheep shepherds. That's what God wants. That is the church that God wants, where every member of his church reflects the head, corresponds with the head, enters into this apostolic ministry, which is our earthly ministry today, following his earthly ministry. But he never left us, even in this ministry of shepherding. He, as the shepherd, is within us, shepherding others along with us. But he needs us to shepherd. In the Old Testament, without Moses, God would have no way to shepherd his people from Egypt all the way into the good land through those 40 years. So Moses was faithful in the house of God because he shepherded a couple of million people from the world all the way into Christ. That's shepherding. That's shepherding, the food, the water, the manna, the smitten rock, the giving of the law, even the raising up the tabernacle, the warfare, all the way into the land. It's shepherding. That's it. That's shepherding. And it's a complete work. It's an A to Z work, as seen in this Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What shepherding is this? I mean, you get tired, am I right? You get hungry, am I right? You complain, am I right? You feel dissatisfied, am I right? He makes us lie down in green pastures. My goodness. Then he leads us beside waters of rest. Waters of rest. I like this. Is not drinking the water, but resting by the waters. Lie down, rest. Isn't that what we need a lot of times? Isn't that what this pneumatic Christ is doing within us? He restores my soul. The soul is a big one. He is a shepherd of our souls, brothers and sisters, because we are people with a soul, and the soul is our person. And the soul is where all our trouble occurs. We become discombobulated. We become depressed. We're in grief. We're sorrowful. We have pains, we have hurts, we have we're down and all kinds of things. So we need to be reviled and restored and encouraged and renewed. He restores. Just he keep restoring also. He guides us on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We cannot be righteous. We are unrighteous people. How can we be righteous with God? How can we be righteous with man? But for his name's sake, he guides us. He leads us firmly on this way of the path of righteousness. I mean, sometimes we say, how long can I hang on in this way of the Lord's recovery? Right? You look and left and the right, and this one dropped out, that one left over the years with the turmoil. When is my turn to get so tired I just maybe call it quits? He leads us on this way. We were just in ICSC in Taipei, right? 2 Timothy 4, Paul's last words, at least in his writings. I have finished the course. I have kept my faith. I have fought the good fight. Don't think it's because Paul was that strong. He got a thorn in his body that he couldn't endure. But the Lord says, my grace is sufficient. It's in your weakness that my power is exhibited. It's not you. It's not your strength. It's not Apostles Paul's strength that caused him to go all the way. The Lord led him to walk on the paths of righteousness to his destiny, to destination. And then under this shepherding of Christ, even though we walk through the valleys of shadow of death, I don't fear evil. I don't fear evil. Right? For you are with me. You are with me. Is there anything better than that? We may be stripped, we may be losing this or that, I'm also past my 70, during the pandemic, and all the creaks, all the, joints, pain, this, that. I said, is that it? Is that going to be the next 2 decades, the decade? That's it? Wow. I do not fear evil, for he is with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. The rod and staff is a bit kind of little nudge, a little hitting. But you know what? These rod and staff, they may not be comfortable, but they keep us. They perfect us. All these gentle dealings of Christ, the gentle, precious dealings of Christ, in our lives, including his rod and staff, actually, they comfort. It seems like they take away. Actually, they comfort. It seems they hurt sometimes. Actually, in the end, they protect us. They keep us. They preserve us. I don't know where I would be today without the Lord keeping me. or directing me. Then he spreads a table before me in the presence of my adversaries, that I can boast victory in the face of Satan and the devil. Weak as I am, as short as I am, I hide in him and I claim his victory. I can overcome. We can overcome, dear saints, because we have a shepherd. Anoint our head with oil, our cup runs over. This is more than the pasture, more than the waters. This is a table. This is a feast. This is blessing running over. I don't know about you. Every time I think about this, I have to do nothing but count my blessings. And the complaint will stop, the murmuring will cease. I said, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. My cup runs over. That's because someone is shepherding. You know, in the world today, no such thing. So, you know, they may be making six figures, seven figures in Silicon Valley. I tell you, they live a life of anxiety, of hopelessness, loneliness, sadness. We don't have much, but our cup runs over. Surely goodness and kindness, oh, the divine goodness, the divine kindness follows us all the days of our lives. And I will dwell in the house of Jehovah for the length of my days. This wonderful shepherding, brothers and sisters, 23 is between 22 and 24. That's meaningful in Psalms. It is this shepherding, brothers and sisters, we need to enter into. This is it. This is the intrinsic shepherding we're talking about. This is more than a practice. This is more than just mere works. It is a practice. It is a work. It is a labor. But it's more than that if you touch the intrinsic meaning and significance of this wonderful, wonderful divine human shepherding of Christ. By this, Christ is building up his body. By this, he is organically saving us every day. By this, he is preparing the bride. So, what am I saying? There's nothing that That's it. This is what Christ is doing. And our work should be none. The only work we do is the work of God, is the work of the Lord. And this is the unique work of Christ. And we're here on the earth in the churches as members, brothers and sisters. We are just here to do what he did. It says when Peter said, you know, in a different context, but it's applicable to this, that Christ has left us a model. Because this is in Peter, and that model there in Peter's epistle referred to the model of Christ's suffering, no doubt. But I think it can be equally applied here that this Psalm 23 is a model in prophecy, and the Gospels is a model in fulfillment of Christ our shepherd. The good shepherd. This morning I just looking over here again. Please do this afternoon. Find some time this afternoon, this weekend. Just go read John 10, Gospel of John chapter 10. This whole chapter on life shepherding of the Lord Himself being the shepherd of His sheep. I have no time where He is the shepherd, He is the door. He's the pastor. And four times he said, he laid down his life for the sheep as a good shepherd. A good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Four times he mentioned that. Of course, that refers to his death. It talks about how he knows his sheep. The sheep know his voice, and the sheep would follow him. And he will give to his sheep eternal life. And no one can snatch these sheep out of his hand and his father's hands. I'm just saying, brothers, this is, and sisters, here's a picture, John 10, at least the first part of that chapter, about the good shepherd. The great shepherd. The good shepherd, the chief shepherd, and eventually even the eternal shepherd. Brothers and sisters, let's be one with him. Let's join with him. Let's take him as our model and pattern. Let's live like him. Let's share in his ministry today, his heavenly ministry. Let's echo him. Now, you have an outline here on Paul, lesson three. I think you have it already. It should have been passed out to you before, but please get into that. And I'm not here to again go through this outline or in that kind of a way. I'm here just to say there's another pattern. The first pattern is the very God Himself, the Lord Jesus Himself, that we should follow, that we should model after. But there's another one, another man like you and I, that's Paul, as a true pattern of a shepherd. Of course, Paul had variously in here and there in his writings said that he was a pattern to the believers. God made this chief sinner a pattern of those who would believe after him. He said, imitate me, Paul said. I'm the pattern. Imitate me. Learn of me. Well, learn of me actually is the Lord's words. Learn of me. Be like me. One who is meek and lowly in heart. Again, a shepherd's heart, isn't it? Paul said, I'm a pattern to you. You who believe, on the Lord unto eternal life. So here's Paul as a pattern of shepherding the saints like none other, in cooperation with Christ shepherding that I talked about in Christ's heavenly ministry. So here's a man, here's an apostle who did exactly that. Oh, that we would all become reproductions of this apostle who imitated Christ to become a reproduction of Christ himself as a shepherd. So in Thessalonians, one of the first epistles he wrote, Paul said, shepherded the saints by saying he was a nursing mother and an exhorting father. This is so wonderful. He said, I'm a mother, a feeding mother, a nursing mother, and I'm a father, a dad, an exhorting and testifying dad to you, Thessalonians. Meaning that he considered, Paul didn't consider these just as Christians. He considered them as believe the believers as his own children. Just like he did with Timothy, my spiritual child. He's not just his young coworker, he's his child. That's a different feeling. When you look at the saints as your children, you look at a young brother as your child, spiritual child, a young sister as your spiritual daughter. It's a different feeling. It's not a job anymore. It's not a duty anymore. It's a life. The believers as your children under your fostering care. Today, what is needed in the church is a lot of parents. Spiritual parents of spiritual children. What the church needs today is parental care to foster the growth of these children, of their children, the believers. And Brother Lee was so strong, he said, even some high school sister should be a parent to some young sisters, younger sister, junior hires. You don't need to wait until you're fully mature, you're old. No, if you're an older brother, you can shepherd your younger brother. And of course, Paul especially cared for the Thessalonians as new believers. Today, there's so many new ones, young ones, even some who have been around. They may be just so new and young still, immature, needing to grow, needing to know how to enjoy Christ, how to experience life. So they need help. They need guidance. They need shepherding. They need to be fed. They need to be cared for. And as a nursing mother, he took care of them in a tender way. I love this word. I think that's in the song I wrote, in the tenderest way. Do you know how to be tender, brothers and sisters? I think many of us don't. And that's why people turn away from us, they run away from us. It's not tender. It's demanding. It's harsh. It doesn't work that way. Paul's care for the believers filled with tenderness. And as a father, sometimes you need a dad to exhort, to say this something, even sometimes with a little bit of a discipline. But all that is part of the father's work to preserve the child, to perfect the child so that they can grow up properly. And that's part of shepherding. Sometimes some tough love is needed, but love nevertheless. And Paul testified, now we move away from Thessalonica to Ephesus, the other church that he loved, spending 3 years there. 3 years. He said in 3 years, he publicly and from house to house, admonishing them with tears for 3 long years and declaring to them all the counsel of God. So here you can imagine Paul is here not just fostering some new young believers, which he did in Thessalonica. He is now what? Perfecting some regular believers so that they would know God's counsel. They can know something concerning God's will and plan, something about God's economy, something a little deeper. And he took 3 years to do that, establishing Ephesus to be one of the strongest churches in the Mediterranean. And he never forgot about them. Even on his way to Jerusalem, he saw the elders for the last time, still saying the same thing. Shepherd the flock of God, whom the Spirit, Holy Spirit, has appointed you to be elders. I've done my part. You now need to shepherd the flock. There are wolves coming. They need protection. They need to be inoculated, the saints. That's part of shepherding as well. So Paul's teaching these believers publicly, maybe a bigger meeting, but privately, house to house, through visitation. He taught them. Teaching is always associated with shepherding. But this kind of teaching has a shepherding feel. It's not just you sit down, you sit me down and teach a class. No. This is a kind of domestic teaching, a fatherly teaching, a motherly teaching. Tell the saints about some profitable verses that they don't know. Give some definitions to that. Because they don't know. Teach them with the Holy Word. So we need to really properly shepherd others. We need to be skillful in the Word so that we can edify the brothers and sisters, establish them. In New Testament word, establish them, settle them, found them. Don't just look to the elders to do this. We all need to do this. All the saints. Strengthen them, encourage them, perfect them, build them up. And this takes a lot of time. Brothers and sisters, don't try to shepherd 30 people. All right? I don't think you can do it. If you can shepherd one or two or three, in this manner, in a long-term manner, in a specific manner, in a personal way, in a struggling way, according to Epaphras, and Paul admonished the saints with tears day and night. Tears means a lot of emotions. A lot of feelings. It's not giving dead doctrines to the saints. There's got to be tears. A lot of concern for their wellness, for their well-being, for their going on. Sometimes, like kids, they just won't listen to you, right? They reject you. But you don't give up as parents. You just love them. It's all for their good. Sometimes one drop of tears is better than a thousand words. Rebuking sometimes may be necessary, but it doesn't work as good as your tears. And I don't mean tears with as a performance, right? I mean, you're so burdened, so moved, so concerned. Eventually sharing with them God's economy. It is through that, through this kind of teaching and sharing and you know, this kind of long-term work with someone under your care, a sheep, a lamb that you're feeding and shepherding in this way, that these one can become grounded in the faith, grounded in the church life, rooted in Christ. It's not just going to them, telling them to go to the meetings. We need the meetings. That's another matter here. But today, what the Lord needs to recover is this kind of shepherding. Shepherding. The meeting is only so many meetings, but the whole week, the hours, morning, evening, all kinds of house to house, at the coffee shop, at the in the park, that there's all kinds of environments and situation where we can do this work of shepherding. Paul, now we come to Corinthians, right? Book by book. Paul with the Corinthians, who had a lot of problem with Paul, by the way, Paul's heart is just enlarged. Another pattern of a shepherd, New Testament shepherd, is a large heart. If your heart is so small, I mean, you get offended quickly, forget about it. You cannot shepherd anyone. You have to have a large heart to take it, even to be rejected, even to be slighted. You're not small. Your heart is big. Your heart contains many. They all found a place in your heart somewhere. And our brother used this word, the intimate concern of a shepherding life or ministering life. The intimate concern. You're saying, this is really not just a service, a work. Intimate concern. You see, our heart is so full of ourselves. We also just think about ourselves, but we need to get out of that and think about others and care for others and be concerned about others and not just ourselves. This is the ministering life. You want a ministering life, a shepherding life? Start with concern, intimate concern. We need our heart to be enlarged. For that, we ourselves has to be fully reconciled to God, for sure, before we can reconcile others to God through our shepherding. We also need, like the Apostle Paul, an all-fitting life, a mature life that can be flexible. You know, one big thing in shepherding is flexibility. Some of us cannot shepherd because we're inflexible. We are stiff. We're rigid. It's my way or the highway. You cannot change. You cannot shepherd. Now, I'm not talking about being political. You know, I'm not talking about being two-faced, but I am talking about the ability to fit in all kinds of situations in order to carry out of shepherding work. If you are just, you know, a one-trick pony. If you just only can do this and nothing else, there's all kinds of people with all kinds of personalities and dispositions and environments, and every case is different. You have to mold. You have to be able to fit that situation and not expect that situation to fit you. Sometimes you can speak a lot. Sometimes you speak nothing because that's the best. Sometimes you meet with someone not because you have the solution or the answer to their needs. You're just concerned. You just sit there. They tell you this and that. They say, "What should I do?" You said, "I don't know what to do." But it's not that you know what to do, but because you're there, you're listening. They have a shoulder to cry on. They have an ear that would hear. There's a little story that Benson Phillips gave, and he was with this brother in a room together, and this brother has just poured out for hours, and Benson said he just sat there and almost fell asleep. And after the brother's done, he woke up, I suppose. And that brother said, "Thank you, brother, for shepherding me." He didn't say a word. Benson didn't say a word. He was just listening. You know how to listen, brothers and sisters? Now, there's a limit to listening. I don't mean we just listen, but you know what I mean. Some of us have no ability to listen because we're so filled with ourselves. We have no room for others, other people's needs, other people's concerns, other people's sufferings. No room for that. So we cannot shepherd. We need a large heart, a flexible, fitting life, a heart that can embrace all kinds of people. Romans 14, it talks about we need to receive one another. That's not even talking about shepherding, that's just receiving. To receive one another, we need what? To have a large heart. Some people, you just look at them, you just don't like them. You see, how can we shepherd people? We have our preferences. We're selective. How can the Lord commission us to shepherd this one or that one? Brother Lee said, "We should not all seek to be great." You can be a great man, but with a small heart. He said, "We should prefer to be a small person, not well known, not popular, not great, but with a big heart." With a big heart. A heart so large that it can embrace every believer in Christ, people that are so different from you, so opposite from you, you can embrace them. Anyway, Paul's intimate concern in his ministering life allows him to speak frankly to the Corinthians here and there, tenderly in other places, strongly in other in others, stern in some situation, but extremely, extremely tender in others. You can just see the tears in the pages, couldn't you, in Second Corinthians? If we are cold, brothers and sisters, we cannot care for people. Me, Minoru Chen, I'm born cold. I'm just born that way. I'm still to some extent that way. But I pray to the Lord, Lord, warm me up. Make me warm. Fill me with concern for the saints, with much feelings and emotions. When we're warm, we can warm others up. So Paul, another point is Paul, as a pattern, always comes down to others' level. He never is condescending in that kind of way, but he followed the Lord's pattern to come out of eternity as God to this earth to be a man, totally at our level, so that he could gain us. So Paul says, I become all men, I become all kinds of things to so that I can save them. I become the weak to thee. We have to be at the level of others. He said, who is stumbled and I myself don't burn. You know, Paul is saying, I'm just like you. If you portray yourself, posture yourself as you are higher, you're better, you're stronger, it's hard to shepherd others. They want to know someone just like them who have been through things, who can empathize, who can understand what they're going through. Paul burned in sorrow sometime, in indignation at other times. What a pattern Paul showed us. And in the end, Paul was able to do this because he loved all the saints. He loved the church. He was that slave that was a type of Christ. I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children to the Lord. That's the Father, that's the church, and that's the believers. And all of us should be like that.